Hello, this is Pastor Brandon Fender, and I'd like to welcome you to another transforming message from right here at Living Way Church. I believe that your life will be impacted by the words you hear today. For more faith-based content, check us out on all social media outlets. Now let's go live into the message.
One of the greatest things about this manger is that it's empty. Oh, come on now. I'm glad there's an empty manger, because the empty manger is what gave way to an empty cross. And the empty manger that gave way to an empty cross gave way to an empty upper room, which means the power that God gave here has now been unleashed everywhere. And so I've come to worship the God tonight, as you have, of the empty manger, the empty cross, and the empty upper room. I've come to worship the God that rides shotgun with you to your job Monday through Friday. I've come to worship the God that will check in to the hospital if I should have to go in. I've come to worship the God who, as great as your attorney may be, he is the greatest counsel that I've ever had. I've come to worship that kind of God, better than a 12-step AA program. I've come to worship a God that didn't stay a baby, that grew up to be a delivering God. I come to worship not a king of England. I've come to worship the King of all the kings and the Lord of all the lords, whose government will be on his shoulders and there will be no end. I have come to worship the God of the empty manger, the light of the world. That's why we're here. Can I caution, some of you are here because of Christmas tradition. This is not a tradition church. This is a life-giving church. It's a Holy Ghost church. It's a miracle church. And I want to encourage you over the next about 25 minutes to let your faith go. Forget everything you thought about religion. Forget everything you thought growing up about church. And I want to introduce you to Jesus, who grew up, started in a manger, but he grew up. He's alive today, and he wants into your life in a big way so he can kick COVID out. He can kick cancer out. He can kick depression out. He can do anything you need him to do. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, that's my kind of Jesus. Now let's stand on our feet for the reading of the word. Luke chapter 2, verse 7. And Mary brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes. What does swaddling clothes mean? It means wrapping them up like a tortilla, like we did with my kids. Swaddle them. Laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. John 8, verse 12, we fast forward 30 years to the words of Christ. Jesus spoke to the people once more and said, I am the light of the world. If, somebody say if you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness, because you will have the light that leads to life. Just for a few moments, I want to preach tonight on Jesus, the light of the world. Turn to your neighbor and tell them, we need more light. You may be seated. Jesus, the light of the world. I love Jesus because he so emphatically makes statements where he does not use the article a or he uses the article the way, the truth, the life, not a way, not one of many. Not a truth. He is the truth. It's a person. Not a life, the life. And then here he says in John 8, 12, he said, I am the light of the world. Any other light is a lesser light. Any other light is not only a lesser light, but it cannot light up the world. It can only light up here a little and there a little. But Jesus comes along and says, I am the light of the world. The Old Testament ends in Malachi chapter 4, verse 6. Malachi is not only the last book of the Old Testament in your Bible, but when you read the chronological sequence, because the Bible is not written in a chronological or arranged in a chronological order, Malachi is the last book, whether it is in the order of the Old Testament or the order in which it was given. The last verse of Malachi 4 is verse 6. It's the last verse of the Old Testament. And I think that we need to read this because it's going to give us a reason to shout tonight. Are you looking for a reason to shout? This is what Malachi 4, 6 says, King James Version. And he shall turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the hearts of the children to the father, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse.
There's two scenarios that God gives us here. When we say God, we're talking about Jehovah God. The strong words that God has for the nation of Israel in Malachi 4:6, he says, I'm either going to bring my family together and I'm going to restore, or I'm sending a curse. How many parents do we have in the building? How many of you have ever gotten mad at your children and you said something that you really didn't mean? How many of you ever made a threat just to make them act right? Oh, come on now. We're going to open up a section of the altar for lying tonight. I remember one time I was talking to Tyler. He was like 4 years old, and I was telling him something. He was coming at me. I'm coming at him. He's 4 years old, and at the time, I guess I was 26 years old, and I remember he said something to me, and I said, hey, we don't negotiate with terrorists in this house. Man, he said, hey, Brandon, come here real quick. She said, did you just call our four-year-old son a terrorist? Because when we get mad, angry, we say a lot of things. God, Jehovah God, through the prophet Malachi, the last statement before he goes radio silent for 400 years is this: I'm either going to bring my family back together again, or I'm going to curse the world. I'm going to bring brimstone and fire again. I'm going to flood the world. I'm going to open up the earth, and I'm going to bring a curse. Here's the reason to shout. We live with retrospective faith. And we can look back and say, God, I'm glad that you didn't bring the curse 2,000 years ago. God, I'm glad that you didn't wipe us all out for the second time and start over again. God, I'm glad that in your moment of being God and looking at Jesus, the Son said, nope, instead of curse them, not a curse, I'm going to send them a Christ. I'm going to send them a Messiah. I'm going to send them a miracle. I'm going to send them a better way. I'm going to send them the one that's what? Going to restore family and bring them all back to me. God goes silent for 400 years. I don't want to preach a lot about God's silence for 400 years because I think I'm going to do a series on this in 2021. But I will say this, God goes silent for 400 years. For 400 years, we get impatient when God doesn't talk back after we've prayed for 3 minutes. We get impatient when we talk to God on Sunday in the altar and it's Tuesday afternoon and we still ain't heard back. 2 days, 48 hours. 400 years is 10 generations. 10 generations. After that first generation, the second generation is hearing about how awesome Jehovah God was. Third generation, fourth generation, all the way to the 10th generation. And now the only thing they know about Jehovah God is what their great, 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 great grandfather said, how he was and who he was. 400 years. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8, I love this. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing. One day is with the Lord as 1,000 years. And 1,000 years is one day. I'm a math guy. The simple math means that 400 years to God is about 10 hours. We thought he was silent for 400 years. He was just calming down after he got mad at all of the nation of Israel. Come on now. We get mad at our children when they don't act right. And a lot of times, if you're like me, you send them to their room and you let them sit there for a while and let them think about what they did. And then you think, step back and think about what you're going to do. 400 years, the nation of Israel had to think about what they did. It was only 10 hours in the mind and heart of God. And God said, nope, I wiped the earth out one time with a flood, and that's not going to work for me. I'm going to send my son, Jesus, as the second man, Adam, to redeem the world. I'm about to light this candle in such a way that it can never be extinguished. And after 10 hours, after 400 years, Jehovah God cleared his throat, but he didn't shout. He didn't show up as a king coming in on the back of a white horse. That's the next time, y'all. That's going to be exciting. But rather, he announced his arrival with the piercing cry of an infant taking his first gulps of oxygen. God had become man. Wow. He did not send fire and brimstone. He came as a baby. God lit the candle. That candle is Jesus Christ. God lit the candle, and what I love about God's candle is it can never be dimmed and it can never be extinguished.
You know what I love about Jesus, church? It doesn't take the unbeliever to believe to make God great. Jesus and who he is not changed by how many people believe in him. If you believe in him, he's great. If you don't believe in him, he's still great. If they let us put nativity scenes on the courthouse steps, God is great and greatly to be praised. But if they pull down the Ten Commandments from every courthouse and they make putting nativity scenes up illegal, guess what? You can take them off the courthouse steps, but you can't take them off the throne of my heart. And I'm here to tell you that when the light was lit for the last 2,000 years ago, the devil's been trying to blow out the candle. The devil's been trying to extinguish the flame. The devil's been trying to dim him. But I think I'm at the right church tonight to say, devil, you tried and you failed, because not only is that candle burning, but that candle has leapt into believers, and we all now shine the light of Jesus. He's shining bright today. You say it doesn't seem like it. That's because you're looking at the world when all of us are focused on the light. So, well, what about COVID, and what about this, and what about that? You can watch Fox and CNN until you die, but I choose to look at the one who's on the throne. I choose to rest in the hand of God that I live in. I'm you're in the land of Goshen. All hell can be breaking loose around us, but why are we so? Because we're not in dark. The light, the candle that was lit in the manger 2,000 years ago cannot be dimmed. Cannot be extinguished, diminished. I love this. The light first came to Mary and Joseph. You think of this. I just did a little bit of studying. At the time of Jesus' birth, there was around 300 million people alive on the face of the earth. That is smaller than our nation, United States of America. 300 million people went about their life the day Jesus was born like nothing had changed. But there was a young man and a young woman huddled in a stable. And they were holding their brand new baby boy. And they were looking at the light that was Jesus Christ. But only two people knew about him for just a few moments, because the Bible tells us that there were shepherds in nearby fields whom the sky was filled with angels saying, peace on earth, goodwill towards men, announcing the arrival of Jesus Christ, and said, you need to go and see this. And so the Bible says they left their flocks and they rushed. And now it was only two, but now the shepherds, probably more than three, four, five, six, seven, now stood at the foot of a manger, not really knowing how much this baby was going to grow up to change the world, but they said, this baby is different. The Bible says that they left exceedingly grateful and praising the name of God. Why? Because they had been exposed to the light. Aren't you glad here in December of 2020, when all of the craziness of this year has just been all around us for 357 days now? Aren't you glad that you know the light of Jesus? Aren't you glad that that light shines on you every day? Aren't you glad that when the world gets dark, you just turn up the oil in your lamp and you shine? Aren't you glad that Jesus, the light of the world, came? A few days later, an old man named Simeon and an old woman named Anna, their shadowed world was lit up by the light of Jesus. An old man and woman that said, we will not die until we see this light. They see the light, and now they can die because their world that has been cast in a shadow has been cast in a light. Can I tell you, Living Way, that before you leave tonight, whether you've been here for 40 years or you've been here for 40 minutes, our goal is for you to get the light of Jesus shining on the inside of you. And if you've got it, we want you to turn that thing up and shine brighter for Jesus. 2 years later, wise men show up at the house of Jesus. From the east, they were guided by a light. Somebody say a light. But they brought gifts and they worshiped the light. Bible doesn't tell us much about the wise men from this moment forward. It does say that they went home a different way. And it wasn't necessarily a spiritual transformation, but they did not want to see Herod again. But I love to preach it the other way, that once you've been exposed to the light, it leaves you different. even if you don't let your candle be lit, now you're always thinking about that one time on a Wednesday night. Come on now. I got good news and bad news for everybody in the room tonight, and we've got about 15 first-time visitors. I am so glad that you're here, but if you don't know Jesus, we just ruined you for the world. Why? Because you've been exposed to the light. Just a few weeks ago, we didn't have lights for over 2 weeks here at Living Way. These lights that are shining bright, I forgot how bright they shone, but I missed them. Why? Because you can't give me something and then take it away. I remember when they finally got the lights working last week, I sat right over here on the edge and I just looked up at the lights. Probably a little too long, because when I went back to my office, I could still see them. Every time I blinked my eyes, they were there. Can I encourage everyone in the room today, especially all of our first-time guests today, we're so glad you're here, but we want to expose you to Jesus Christ tonight. We want to let his light shine on you in such a way that after you leave this place tonight, in 15 minutes, guess what? You're going to go home, and when you blink your eyes, you're going to still see Jesus. Tomorrow on your job, or when you're around the Christmas tree with your family, or when you're at, come on now, New Year's Eve, and you're trying to drink yourself happy, you're going to still hear Jesus. You're going to see Jesus. You're going to feel Jesus. Why? Because you were exposed to the light. I would like to think that the wise men went back to the astronomy club and astrology club and said, I don't need the horoscope readings anymore. Why? Because I met the one that created the stars. I don't need to look at the stars anymore. Why? Because those stars led me to a greater light, and that light is Jesus Christ. For 2,000 years, the light of Jesus has shone brighter and brighter. From a young couple in Bethlehem to now 2 billion people worldwide. The light of Jesus has been shared, it's been multiplied, it's been magnified. The enemy knows that he cannot stop Jesus, the light of the world, so instead he attacks us that are reflecting that light. He does his best to stop us from illuminating the world with Christ. The devil will attempt to dim your light, to hide your light, or to extinguish your light. But I want to tell Living Way and everybody watching online, we need to shine brighter than we have ever shone before. We need to be louder about Jesus. Jesus needs to be something that we're ready to say Monday through Saturday, not just on Sunday morning. The nativity scene needs to be a part of our life. That, listen, I am who I am because Jesus came to this earth. And he was born on this earth. And then I was born into him. And let me tell you something, when we as the church shine bright, it doesn't matter who's sitting in Washington, it doesn't matter what happens to you on the daily, when you've been exposed to the light, you begin to be a reflector of that light. And when something bad happens in your life, boom, you reflect that light onto that situation and say, Jesus, I know you're not going to allow me to stay like this. I know you're not going to allow trouble to come and stay like that. Jesus would say, it's amazing what's in our memories. I remember this from all the dramas we did. Matthew chapter 5, verse 14. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do you light a lamp and put it under a bushel, but instead you put the lamp on a lampstand that it may give light to everyone in the house. We have gotten really good at not shining on Monday to Saturday, but we shine our brightest on Sunday. We don't need you shining bright here. We need to shine bright there. We don't need your voice as much in here as we need your voice out there. And so instead of adopting the candle where we light the candle and then we take the candle everywhere we go, see, what I don't like about this candle is when I got the candle, I got to move with purpose. Because if I go too fast, it goes. Some of us have been moving too fast in 2020. You know why we're moving fast? Because we're scared. We're running. The light's been extinguished. But most of us don't light the candle, so we've gone to this. You know why we like this? Sunday when they sing our favorite song? Then when we walk out the door, oh, you if you didn't like that one, you're going to hate this one. Sunday when the preacher's preaching, Friday night when we're with our boys, Sunday morning when the your favorite worship song comes on and they sing it better than Elevation Worship, but then when you want to climb into bed with somebody, You either get your light lit and you keep it lit or don't get it lit at all. That's why Jesus would say, I would rather you be hot or cold, but quit getting hot and cold and hot and cold. Because when you're hot on Sunday and cold on Monday, you become lukewarm. And Jesus said, those kind of people make me sick and I wish I could spew them out of my mouth. That's why we need to get rid of the lighters and get the candles. Because when we get the candles, we move with purpose. I'm not even looking at anything else. I'm making sure my candle's lit. When people come around that I can't trust, I trust Sister Tammy, but for the object lesson, I put myself in between them and my candle because I can't trust them not to blow it out. And I need this light more than I need them. Come on, church. I need Jesus more than I need anything in this world. So when I move, I'm going to move with purpose. When I invite people into my circle, my squad, I'm going to make sure that they're not blowing my candle out when I'm not looking. I'm here to tell you, 19 years ago when I got saved, God lit a candle. And the devil's been after me for almost 20 years to blow out this candle. But every day I wake up making sure my fire's still lit, making sure that I am still being the light God has called me to be. I'm sorry if you don't like me. I'm sorry if you think I'm too for real and too blunt. I've got too much invested to go back now. You listen, your light couldn't do for me what God's light did. And God lit the candle. He lit the candle 2,000 years ago. He lit the candle 2,000 years ago from 2 to 4. 2 billion people 2,000 years later. 2 billion people have the candle of Jesus Christ lit in their lives and claim him as Savior and Lord of all. Shine bright, Living Way. Shine bright, believer. The world needs your Jesus. Stand on your feet. 2020 has tried to dim, has tried to hide, has tried to extinguish your light. There's a lot of things that the devil will use to dim, to hide, or extinguish your light. He'll use racism. It's worse in 2020 than it's ever been. He'll use politics. How sad is it going to be when we get to heaven and God says, you sure wasted a lot of time arguing over two people that were not the answer? Can I say this in all sincerity and love, even though it's going to sound very blunt? For the last year, the world has heard what you think about politics. For the last 9 months, the world has heard what you think about COVID and how it's been handled. For the last few months, we've heard whether you're anti-vaccine, for vaccine, whether you are for mask, against mask, whether this is a constitutional infringement or not. We've heard that the last 12 months. Can I encourage you? We need to squash all that talk. We need to start talking about Jesus. I dare you. I dare you. The next time you want to post something political, just post, I'm praying for my president in Jesus' name. For this one or the next one. Instead of all of the conspiracy theories about COVID, why don't you just post, I'm praying against COVID right now in the name of Jesus. You dry up that virus. You cannot come to my home. You cannot come to my job, my nation. Shine the light. Jesus didn't die on a cross so we could sacrifice ourselves on the altar of politics. And it's happening day in and day out. Jesus didn't die on a cross so that my peers, that I'm literally having to talk off the ledge of shutting down their churches because they're scared and they don't know what's going to happen. No, preacher, this is the time for you to shine your light like never before. Say, Pastor, it's dark. All the reason to shine brighter. The darker the world gets, the shiner our light shines. The brighter our light shines, the brighter Jesus becomes. And in this dark world, I promise you, in San Antonio, it's getting dark, but Living Way is bright, not because of the building, but because of the people that make up the building. We are God-fearing, love-having, Holy Spirit-filled, light-reflecting, light-having, light-shining people. So very simply, this is the altar call today. If you feel your candle has been dimmed, maybe you even feel like your candle has gone out, I want you to bring the candle that you were handed or that you picked up off the table. I want you to bring that candle, come down here, and we're going to light it physically. But more than physically, God's going to light it spiritually, and God's going to restart what only God can restart. Don't worry about anybody else. Right now, this is you and God. Don't worry about your family. Don't worry about the ham you got, the turkey you got ready to put in the oven. Don't worry about any of that. Right now, it's, am I shining like I'm supposed to shine? Am I shining like I'm supposed to shine? Am I shining like I'm supposed to shine? Here comes just an incredible group of people. A lot of our first-time guests out of this group. Out of this group, they tell me there's a young man that wants to rededicate his life to Christ tonight. Out of this group, there's two that want to be baptized in water tonight. And this has nothing to do with me. It has everything to do with God. We're lighting the candle again. Getting your light back. Jesus is shining brighter than he's ever shone. Mary, you're a lamp. You're set on a hill. God has created you for greatness. Can I just tell you, you're more than a photographer. You're more than somebody who runs this wall and who serves at Catalyst. You're so much more than that. God is the light of your world. This candle being lit, it's a new day. A new day is dawning. If the candle don't stay lit in this altar, this is just an illustration. Oh, there it goes. But listen, I'm right next to somebody who has theirs lit. There we go. Oh, there it goes again. I could preach about it all day long. I'm trying to move too fast. If you're in this house today and you have sickness in your body, man, what an awesome Christmas present for Jesus to give you your complete healing and health today. Brother Chris and Heather, if you'll help me light the rest of these candles, I mean, I'm not going to say I wasn't expecting an altar response like this, but praise God that we have it. Praise God. The Bible says that shepherds and wise men came to have their candles lit. There's going to be people that are going to light their candles. They're going to move up and down these aisles, and they're going to begin to light your candles. And then I want you to turn and light somebody else's candle, because that's the whole point of this message, is that God lights us in such a way that we begin to light everybody's candles around us. And so all I need to do is light one, and that one can light 10, and that 10 can light 100, and that 100 can light 1,000. And for those of you that are in this room tonight, as your candle is being lit and we begin to pray for everybody in this altar and everybody that's watching online tonight, I believe that God is being born again and the light is being lit again in your heart. Where's my friend that wants to rededicate their life to Christ? Two? Right here? Everybody. You're saying everybody. I want everybody. We're going to pray the same prayer. And let me tell you something. There's nothing like it. And if you need to concentrate and blow those out, you can. But I want you to repeat this prayer after me. Say, Jesus, I love you. I thank you that you came to us 2,000 years ago. I believe you are the Son of God. You're the only way to get to heaven. And I rededicate, and maybe for the first time, I receive you as my Savior. Wash me. Forgive me of all of my sins. Save me from this world and take me to heaven at my time. I love you, Jesus. And I will make you my Lord for the rest of my life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.